Well, that was fun and exciting to come back from a week off, quote unquote, and not have anything work. So way to go us on starting episode 65 of We Were Gamers. Woo!
You know, I'm surprised, honestly, we haven't run into more weird technical problems based on the stuff that I hear when I listen to podcasts. Otherwise, it sounds like every other episode these people are running into issues. And frankly, I just figured it was because we were just so good and like great at computers, and there's no way it could have been us.
Can I make like a uber like teasery statement?
Ooh, okay.
We have to make sure that we solve for these technical issues before we have a three-way call in less than a month that is with a secret person that we can't mention yet because we don't know the exact date and time 100% for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's in a month.
Okay. Yeah.
But we look pretty unprofessional in front of some people we don't want to look unprofessional.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, we'll need to come up with like pretty ironclad instructions.
Was that a teaser or just more worrisome than anything?
I don't know. It's, you know, this is the We Were Gamers production minute where you can listen to us talk about how to produce a podcast live on a podcast.
You know, they don't get a production minute very often. It's usually homeowner 25 minutes.
Yeah. Well, hey, to be honest, which is more interesting, right, to most people, the homeowner 25 minute or the production 2 minutes where we complain about how computers are hard? I guess everyone agrees that computers are hard.
My homeowner's minute proves that things simpler than computers are actually hard.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, what is that? What's simpler than...
Lawnmowers.
Your lawnmower stopped working?
Yeah, so I have a special type of grass called Bermuda grass. And it requires that you use a real mower. Do you know what a real mower is?
Is it different from any... like? No. I'll just say no because I don't know what could be classified as not real in the term of thing that spins with blades attached to it.
Ah, R-E-E-L.
Ah, that was my mistake. I still don't know what that is.
Most mowers are fans that have blades on them and they cut your grass.
Okay.
But Bermuda grass requires that it not let itself grow more than a few inches or it turns into like a disastrous mess. Less than 2 inches. And most of those fan blade mowers can't go that low. So they use what would look, you'd see it in like a 50s movie where the man was like pushing a little mower around and spun like a cartridge, more like like a shaver.
I have one of those.
Do you?
Yeah. You want it?
No, I have one.
Oh, okay. I was just letting you know. I've been trying to get rid of it for forever. The guy who lent it to me said, keep it. I don't want it.
Oh, no.
I borrowed it from him years ago, and anyway, he doesn't want it back.
No, well, most people don't want them back because they have no need of them.
Yes.
I had a Briggs & Stratton one with a gas-powered motor on it, and it made my life really easy, despite the fact that it was heavy as all get-out.
And this was manually powered.
Yes, so I have now switched to a manually powered one, and man, sometimes it's hard.
Yes, it is.
The other one kept throwing its chain. Katie hates the smell of it, and I don't feel like buying a chain and repairing it myself and keeping it a giant rusty piece of technology running if I can just get a push mower. I don't have that much grass anymore, but God, keeping that thing running was more complicated than any computer work I've ever done in my life.
Man, that is, well, my homeowner's minute is silly in comparison to that. The useful life of some of the plants in our garden has ended, and in light of Stephanie's award-winning performance with tomatoes, she decided that she wanted to start pumpkins. And I told her that she should try and not win the county fair, because if she does, we are going to have pumpkins so big that they will not fit in the bed space based on the amount of tomatoes we had. I told her to take less good care of the pumpkins. We'll see if that works out or not.
You're in for like Charlie Brown sized pumpkins, dude.
I'm going to have like a pumpkin that's as big as my front door or something.
You're not going to be able to get out of the house.
Yeah.
You have to eat your way through the pumpkin, James and the Giant Peach style.
But I didn't realize you have to start so far in advance also. Like, you know, it's like, what, this is July or August basically. Mm-hmm. And it's, you have to wait from then until October to make a pumpkin. That's how long it takes, man. I just didn't know.
They also surprise you that they, at one point they're green.
Now you just blew my mind again.
I'm sad your tomato plants didn't make it till through the season.
Oh, no, no. It's not the tomato plants that were done. The tomato plants are just fine. We had to cut them back again. It's some of the other plants that are in the garden were kind of done.
Casa de Krakowski Farms.
I know, right? And let's be real, I have no real involvement with most of
them. Yeah, so I guess it's more like Hall Farms.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that's correct.
Well, you've been kind of on the road and stuff for the last little bit since we talked last. Have you kept yourself entertained or?
Yeah, we traveled to a wedding up in the Mammoth Lakes area at a little resort known as the Convict Lake Resort, which is a little wonderful little like campground and lake area around.
Do you actually know how that lake got its name? Because I have never had the wherewithal to look it up. And I wonder.
Andrew. We actually had this exact discussion, and we Wikipedia'd it. The answer is that there was a group of convicts in the 1870s who escaped and hid out in the little valley there where that lake is.
Huh.
And when the sheriff and company came to the posse, came to arrest them, there was a battle of some kind, and one of the convicts and one of the sheriffs was killed. And a nearby mountain is now named after the dead lawman, and the convicts were arrested or whatever.
Gotcha. And that's not the same as the lake that you see from 395.
No, that lake is a different lake. Convict Lake, you have to kind of drive off where the airport is. You turn left, basically, instead of right where the airport is, and then you kind of go back into the hills for a little bit, and it's there. A very pretty little lake. Some good friends of mine from college were getting married. They chose that as their spot, so we made the very long drive up and back. So I had plenty of time to, play some mobile games while I was entertaining myself during parts of that trip.
Sweet.
To be fair, I'd started on this a little bit before this, but I played some during the trip also.
Since I cooled off on Super Mario Run and haven't been playing Hearthstone, haven't really booted up a mobile game, which will change soon, actually. But I haven't done much on my phone recently. Is there something out there that I should be trying?
So you probably already know about this game a little bit. And actually, it's like not necessarily fair to call it a mobile game because it wasn't really to start with. But I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions.
Ooh, okay. So War of the Lions is the remake of Tactics.
It's the like retranslation with new content edition.
Right, and like new art.
Right, and it came out for, I think, the PlayStation Portable way back in the day.
Vita, maybe? Or maybe
it's definitely PSP? It's definitely on the Vita, but I think it's the PSP, yeah. And there is it is out on iOS and Android, and it is a very competent and really good mobile port. You can use the touchscreen to do all the things that you need. You pretty much don't miss having like a D-pad or anything. There is a lot of menu stuff, but you can use the touch for that, and it works pretty well. It's a nice time, and like it's fun to go back through that game and you just sort of experience it again.
I know you pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be embarrassed to answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it over a dozen times now that you've played through a version of this game?
So many times, dude. I don't even know. Yeah, a dozen is probably pretty close to right. A lot of the times I go back and play it, I get through like the first chapter or whatever, and then I'm like, this is good. And then I stop because the game is long, as you know.
Yeah.
And there's like a few different parts where there's like a little difficulty kind of ramp. There's a big one like near the end of the first chapter. There's a really big one in the middle of the third chapter. And then like, once you get a certain character at a certain point in the game just becomes ridiculously simple. The Thunder God guy shows up, and then the game is just too easy from then on. The game has, you know, those little spikes, and generally, like, I get to that first big one in the first chapter, and I'm like, okay, I'm good. I remember this. I like this game. Yeah, and I stop. But I've had more time than that recently with plane flights and car rides and time in hotels where there's nothing to do. So yeah, I've been playing that game, really enjoying it as previously stated. So
nice.
It is not a cheap mobile game, I think, but it is on sale every now and then for like $4, and it's absolutely worth that price if you can find it.
Right on, right on. You know, you weren't the only one that was busy with some games while we were out.
Yes.
We got another transmission from our friend Z about another game you can get on iOS and Android.
Yeah. And Mac and PC and whatever else.
Yeah, in his case, Mac. And we should listen to another segment, I think, of his exploration of the sewers in Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay, I'm back. I'm a little further along in this game, I guess. And I don't know what to make of it, man. I'm in the sewers below this city, apparently, that's built 4 floors tall. I am finding this interface to be extremely clunky, for me at least, where you want to fight something and it freezes the screen and says, like, what kind of attack do you want to have? And you've got poor chances to do it, and I mess it up every time. But I guess I've managed to make it this far, like stealing from people's apartments and generally just not really having a sense of what to do. Everyone in the city apparently wants to tell me their life story, which is intriguing for like 2 minutes. Oh my god. Disable. Let's see. Everything freezes. What do I want to do? Disable the mine? No. What would make help? Okay. So if I don't disable it, I just run right into it. Okay, so that's another weird thing I found. At least as it runs on the Macintosh, there's this weird bug where after I have a battle, my character stays frozen for a while until they start moving again. I have no idea what causes it. The end result of that just was I walked right into one of these mines as I was mocking it, saying, like, what do you suppose I'd like to do with that mine? Well, anyway, I'm making it through. I'm not sure what I think about it. That's that.
Well, sounds like he is making a go of it, at least.
He's moving along. If he's made it to the sewers, he's played some amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely gotten places.
You know, it's a good reminder between the, you know, like character life stories and how they're told flat out and the interface being kind of ancient that it's definitely an older game.
Yeah. I was just about to say the time may not have been kind to parts of this game.
Yeah, and it's definitely been ported, like I mentioned before we started it. It's been ported to everything, including like the iPhone. Maybe it's been ported too much. That's probably why he's getting that weird bug. Like, I don't remember.
Yeah,
that
I wonder,
don't disarm the bomb thing blowing up on you. I don't remember very well, but
yeah, I wonder if that's a case where there was like timed button presses or something, and the interface is being weird. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well,
I definitely enjoyed his talk about stealing things from random people's apartments. The quintessential RPG experience right there. Running around through the town, barging into people's homes who you don't know, stealing all their things and leaving.
What do you have in this footlocker? Taken, mine. What do you have in this desk? Mine. What do you have in your cabinet? Mine.
Ooh, you have a potion in your cupboard. Thanks.
Yeah. Games caring that you were stealing from people and making you have to hide it.
Not just that. I mean, there's still games today where there's no concept of stealing, and it's just like, everything in the game is yours. Go for it. And you're just like, sweet. Is this the medicine you needed to treat your sick child? Mine.
Everyone's ethers are ours. Well, that's, you know, it doesn't sound too dour yet. I'm hoping that this doesn't turn further south, but, you know,
yeah.
I could see the frustration.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, the interface concerns I get for sure. The game is it wasn't necessarily the smoothest game back then even, so.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe some nostalgia was happening on our part, but.
Oops.
No going back now.
Oh, well.
You know, I did keep myself busy, too.
What have you been up to?
Well, we ended Comic-Con, and I had 70 street passes.
Yeah, that seems like a lot.
You know what? It's a decent amount. And I guess I had to think about it for a second. It's obviously way less than it could have been, right?
Yeah, so
I think 70 was good, but at BlizzCon, I know that I got like 50 in a day. So
right.
70 over 4 days, because I banked them all. Maybe not so great, actually, when I think about it. And a lot of them were me passing people two or three times in our hotel.
Yeah, so I definitely did not even take my 3DS around as much as you did. And yeah, I passed the same people enough times in some cases to get them up to like level 5 or 6.
Oh boy.
People who I had never met.
I talked about with banking them and going to Comic-Con and not really playing that I thought maybe I would, you know, like switch my strategy on playing games and stuff. And I kind of played all the games with the first 30 or so. And then after the fourth time I let people in from the gate, I just slipped back into like, you know what? I'm going to focus on this stock market game. And like finding puzzle pieces and maybe one other one, you know, like cooking or something. And
yeah,
next time, you know, I'll finish those three games. And then next time I get my 3DS out, I'll work on some other ones, because it's like a long time. And you don't feel like you're making progress in any of them when you play all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. I really do like that stock market game.
I do too.
But it really needs a lot of street passes for you to do like really well,
or play coins.
Yeah, you just have to have a lot of advisors or whatever, and you get them either way, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because otherwise the curves are so crazy. Like, in order to appropriately buy low and sell high, the more information you have, it's really important.
Yeah, yeah, and even then you have those blank spaces where nobody knows what's going on. But
yep,
I did run out of the thing that we were both jammed about. Jazzed about? Jammed about?
Jazzed, I think is appropriate,
yeah,
there.
That's what I'm looking for. Bonus chance?
Yeah, bonus chance, man.
So apparently so it many like puzzle runs pieces. Out.
What? Really? I didn't run out.
I have no longer have bonus chance as an option when people are giving me puzzle pieces. And I thought that was like a great addition to that game, because puzzles were taking so long to complete. But I've got like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just gone. All of a sudden, no more bonus chance. I wonder if it's like a percentage, if you have less than a certain percent of all the available slots or something.
Oh, man, that's a bummer to hear, man, because I super was loving it. I could see the end in sight for some of these. I completed probably like 6 puzzles, like entire puzzles, even just street passing the same few people.
Yeah.
Like, it was... awesome. I've never felt more productive at puzzles.
My world has changed.
Man.
It's back to the grind. But
dang.
Anyway, I just thought I'd check in on Street Pass, since we were lamenting the death of the 3DS last episode. And yeah. I felt like it just deserved one last little, shove off into the into ether there, as we say. Good
man,
night.
Man, it really seemed like
it was. Street Pass.
It's just real done, huh?
Yeah, I think just, maybe people are still going to play their 3DSs, but I think Street Pass is just over.
Well, c'est la vie. It was good while it lasted.
I'll still take it to BlizzCon, but I don't think we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
What have you been keeping busy with since you got back?
So I picked up a game during the Steam sale, not because the price on the game was good, but because I had an immense amount of Steam credit, and after applying the credit and the sale price, it felt like it was worth picking up. The game is called Nier Automata. That's NIER, and Automata spelled the way that maybe you would think it was spelled.
Is this a game you had heard about, or you just like grabbed
it? Yes, I'd heard several things about this game. One, that the PC port was kind of bad, but the story content of the game was very good, but maybe it took a while to get going. Someone had released a mod which fixed a lot of the issues with the game, like made the resolution stuff work a lot better and do some, more of the like PC stuff that you would expect, improved some of the visuals and like making it run faster, and changed some of the lighting settings and stuff to make it work better on older hardware. And so with that in hand, I sort of installed that mod after installing the game. So I haven't really, I don't know what it's like without that. But it definitely looks nice with it. And it does the things that I would expect it to do. I set it to the resolution for my monitor and it works just fine.
Yeah, that's kind of like I never played Skyrim unmodded, right? You know, I just like, because I played it so late, I looked up, okay, what are all the mods I need? And it changed the entire look of the game because it was like 4K textures and like better lighting. And
so this is a relatively recent game, but it has never been patched since they released it. I guess the company that did the PC port or whatever and decided they didn't want to do any patching or anything, which is really unfortunate because what I have played of this game so far is really interesting. The developer of this game, Platinum, who made titles like Bayonetta and Vanquish, which I've talked about on here before.
Oh, yeah.
The creator, the creative director, I think, or the director of the game is this guy named Yoko Taro.
I don't recognize the name.
He sort of has like a cult following in Japan, I guess. But he gives interviews wearing this mask. For like maybe because you think he's like weird and like doesn't want his face out there, which maybe that's also true. But he says the reason is because he doesn't want people to like focus on him. Rather, because the games aren't like, it's not like he made the game, right? He's not the guy. He's just happens to be the face that they let people give interviews to. You know, he wants the team to be the focus and the whole product rather than just him.
He doesn't want it. He's created a cult of personality around himself by trying not to create a cult of personality around himself.
Yeah, he's trying not to be Hideo Kojima, right? Like the Metal Gear guy who everyone idolizes and loves and talks about how his games are so great and will give an interview anytime you want to ask him about movies. And so he's trying not to do that, and by doing that has made himself kind of ubiquitous. For the same reasons. Anyway, of course. he has a large series of games from like way, way back. And this game is a sequel to another game which came out in two parts on the PS3, which I never played. And apparently there's a bunch of Easter eggs in this that relate back to that previous Nier game, N-I-E-R, Nier. And I have no idea what those are because I didn't play that game. But regardless, this game is about like androids in the future fighting machines, and humanity is absent and living on the moon, and giving orders to these androids while they fight back the machines who are working for aliens who have invaded the Earth.
Whoa.
So like, go ahead and see if you can parse all that for me.
There's at least four factions there, but two of them are allied with each other.
So the androids who just look like humans but are actually robots, right? They are allied with the humans who are on the moon.
Uh-huh.
The aliens...
Are they on the dark side of the moon?
Unclear where on the moon they are. We just receive transmissions from them. We don't really see them. The machines, like just, they look like little robot guys with kind of friendly-looking faces, are allied with the aliens who invaded Earth hundreds of years ago. Right. And so the machines and aliens have taken over the Earth, and the androids are trying to get it back for the humans so that we can, you know, come back and human the Earth again.
Is there a matrix of some sort?
Unclear. Because, Andrew, this game is about existentialism.
Oh, no. I stepped in it and I didn't realize it.
You know,
back off slowly. How do you get out of quicksand?
Nope. Nope. You're all the way in. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Welcome to the mire. The game, you play as several different characters, it turns out. And each time... So the game is meant to be replayed several times. When you get to the ending, there's sort of a pop-up that basically tells you, hey, you should try playing a game again because it's not over. And lo and behold, you start the game again as a different character. And now you play through some of the same events, but with a different point of view, and sort of see how things maybe aren't what you thought they were.
Oh, interesting. From the first perspective. But the story ends in the same place, or does it like continue on, or does it end a different way?
So at least as far as I have gotten, I've completed one playthrough of the game, and it's not necessarily that long if you're just going from A to B, you know, from the end to the from the beginning to the end. After completing that first playthrough, you start again and you play as one of the other characters that you sort of met with during that time. And there are some parts of it that are different, right? Because where was that character during times when they weren't with you? Or like, what was that character thinking during this one particular scene or when they were separated from you during, you know, whatever time? But it is largely the same series of events so far. I haven't completed that second playthrough yet, but I know that there are more playthroughs than this.
You say you play as a character and it's not far to go from A to B. What actual gameplay are we talking about here? Is it an RPG? Is it a third person shooter?
I guess I would call it like a third person action game. You have two weapons. In the case of the like first character, you have like a light weapon and a heavy weapon, and then there's sort of like combos, and you can jump in the air and double jump, and there's air attacks and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like action, fast-paced combat like that, right? There's no turns; it's all just sort of happening at the same time. You can dodge with a trigger and jump out of the way.
Okay,
that kind of stuff.
Sure, sure.
But the second character doesn't work the same as the first character. They have this hacking stuff that you can do to the robots, and that just jumps you into like this weird kind of little puzzly shooter mini game that represent hacking, I guess. And you can sort of do that at any time, and so you have that instead of your heavy attacks. And the internet has informed me that there are more characters than these two, although I don't know who they would be because these are the two kind of main ones that I've seen in the story so far. So I'm not sure what their abilities would or wouldn't be based on not really having seen them.
You have to break out of the Matrix, and then you'll find out who.
Well, it's entirely possible that at the end of this playthrough, I will. That's the thing. Like, you don't know. The game is so crazy. There's a lot of questions about, like, you know, these androids are working for the humans, but, like, they kind of never really seen the humans, and they've been at war for, like, kind of a long time. And like, are the aliens real? Are the humans real? Is there like, why are we fighting? Like, it is being an android the same as being alive? And like, are machines alive? And you know, all of the like, what does it mean to be alive? Kind of stuff is really, really present in this game, because you're told that the machines are just like mindless machines or whatever, and then you come upon like groups of them who are like, you know, forming little societies and trying to protect each other and doing, you know, caring for like little robot babies and stuff. And you're like, well, how does this work?
Well, which you then obliterate without prejudice, I'm sure.
Well, you certainly have the option to do that.
Do you have the option not to do that?
You don't have to press the attack buttons if you don't want to.
You have to run away from them when they attack you, though.
I mean, sometimes they don't attack you, though. You're free to kill them. There's no consequence whether you do or don't.
Huh.
And so, you know, the storylines kind of revolve around this. And, you know, in some cases, there are colonies of you come upon a colony of machines who have sworn themselves to pacifism and like disconnected themselves from the machine network or whatever, and are just like living and dealing with the fact that they can't hear each other's thoughts anymore. And like, that's scary. And now they're kind of not, you know, like, what does it mean? Like, I don't want to, like, how do I know if this girl likes me or not? Like, I used to just know. You know, it was very, like, you know, all the sort of, like, crisis of what it means to be alive and stuff.
Very, very Borg.
Yeah, yes, yes, actually. That one particular episode where the Borg disconnects and, like, learns to be a human.
Yeah.
There's a lot of some of that in here. It's a really interesting topic to handle in a game with a bunch of, like, action combat and stuff.
Yeah, I do find myself looking for more things in a game kind of like that, you know, or make it completely mindless FTL or like a card game or whatever, or like really challenge me. But I'm kind of like over just getting walked through like shooter.
Yeah. And there is, and to be fair, there is also the game has it does a lot of like play with camera angles and stuff, as you have a little robot sidekick that follows you around, which basically acts as like a gun sort of for you. You can, you know, have both ranged attacks and melee attacks. And then it basically turns itself into like a bullet hell shooter at some points where like, you know, the bosses spray out these hordes of bullets that move very slowly, but you know, you can constantly be shooting at them with your little pod and moving around between the the holes and the stuff. It's very interesting, the like sort of different styles of gameplay get mixed together in this stuff. And I guess this is like kind of this guy's style of game where he does this sort of gameplay mixture. Yeah. Apparently this is the thing he does, and some people love it, and I have never heard of it before.
Huh, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm interested.
I would recommend people wait for a sale, though. I don't know that the full price of this game is worth it based on the quality of the port.
Okay. Well, but what if people have a PS4?
Yeah, so yes, it is available on PS4, and I'm sure you can get it for a good discount there. It's probably also on the Xbox, I would guess. And those versions, I'm sure, run much better than the PC one. So yeah, Nier Automata.
The PC gamer.
Right. You know, man, that's just... You know, people got to go where the money is, and I get it. But come on, man, don't just release a product and throw it out to the wolves and then not fix it when obvious problems, right? Like, if a modder can fix the problem for you within, you know, a month of the game's release, you could have done it for real, right?
Like, now, JJ, you've always reminded me, you don't know how much work they have and how many people...
They
and...
could just pay the modder, though.
Yeah, well, you know, the market has spoken and somebody did it for them for free.
I guess that's true. If you get this game on PC, I will absolutely recommend you look up a mod called FAR. I forget the name of the person who made it. It's like this guy's FAR mod, and FAR stands for Fix Automata Resolution. and it does a lot more than that, but that's the main thing, is that it makes the resolution actually do what you want. And apparently it also adds a bunch of graphical options and makes stuff much nicer on your computer also. So
nice.
If you're going to play the game on PC, absolutely recommended that mod. Yeah.
We have some card game time we need to spend, I think.
Yeah, let's do it.
I am not following any Hearthstone news, and I know there's a ton of it coming out.
Yeah, man, we are deep into the reveals for the new set.
Make me care.
Andrew, do you like the arena?
I used to like the arena.
What if I told you they'd been giving away free runs in the arena for everyone?
I'd heard about this and still did not drag me back into it.
And your run in the arena starts with a free win, so that at minimum you already have one.
I heard about this and it still did not drag me back into it.
Well, you should consider going back to it because, Andrew, the arena is much easier when there are lots of people playing the arena that aren't that good at the arena.
Have you gotten a 12-win run?
No, I have not. But without trying very hard, I got a 7-win run. And that was with, like, not consulting any outside resources, not just sort of picking whatever I felt was a good card and just kind of going for it.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, didn't use any deck trackers or any of that stuff. I just kind of went for it, and I got 7 wins without a ton of effort.
Is it like one per week or?
So I don't know exactly what their plan is, but they called it the Fire Festival, where Ragnaros said, "Woo, here's a bunch of stuff," and basically made all your quests worth double gold for a while. And then the ice elemental lord, whose name I don't know how to pronounce, decided that he was mad about this, and then they were going to have the frost festival, and he just comes on and talks about how much nicer he is than Ragnaros, and he gives you the arena stuff. And I think you get a quest every so often that rewards you with a free pack of the new expansion or something like that.
Okay. I'm still not completely sold.
It's a lot of fun to play Arena again when people that are not good at Arena are also playing Arena. That's what I was saying.
Okay.
So that has been nice to play some Arena again.
I'm not looking at the set, and it worries me, because if I'm not looking for the cards in the set, am I going to care about the set?
Are you excited about Death Stalkers and Death Knight versions of your favorite heroes?
No.
Well, too bad, because they're coming.
It's an interesting way to get new classes without having to make new classes, for sure.
Yeah, so they're implementing cards that are hero replacements, essentially. You get a new hero power, you gain some amount of armor, they'll have battle cries or persistent effects or whatever. And then you get the new hero portrait that looks like the the Death Knight version of Jaina or Gul'dan or whoever. They have revealed some of these, not all of them, but some of the ones they've revealed so far are really interesting. The Shaman one came out recently, which is it's a 5-mana card, and so some of them cost different amounts. The Mage one costs 9, for instance. The Shaman one costs 5 and gives you 5 armor and has a battle cry to evolve your minions, right? Like to turn your minions into minions that cost 2 more than they currently do.
Wow.
That's the battle cry.
And the
it changes your hero power into 2 mana, upgrade a minion, or if basically cast evolve on a single one of your minions. So basically target a minion, make it a random minion, 1 cost higher.
Wow.
Not necessarily that great of a hero power if you consider the card evolve does the same thing for all of your minions for 2 mana. Doing it for 1 minion for 2 mana, not that great. That battle cry, though, is insane. It's really good. So that is an interesting one there, I felt. They've started printing some, the death guys aside. They've also shown some interesting card effects that do some light interaction with the opponent, Andrew.
What does that mean?
There is a Warlock card that, when played, will discard the top card of your opponent's deck.
Whoa, finally.
Yeah. So, like, some actual milling.
Huh.
I believe it's a Battle Cry. It's a 2-mana, 2/3, so it has, like, pretty okay stats. And you play it, and they just lose the top card of their deck. It's just gone. That's it.
I feel a little bit like they're behind the curve after having played Gwent for so long.
Totally. So that is a... I saw a post on Hearthstone, or some Hearthstone forums, talking about how people that play Magic think this is very silly, because there are lots of discarding effects in Magic the Gathering, and it's like pay 2 mana in Magic and discard 10 cards from your opponent's deck. And they're like, the Hearthstone people are getting upset about 1. What's this about? Of course, they're not really comparable, right? Magic has a lot of lands and stuff, which you don't have in Hearthstone, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that's different between the two games.
Sure.
But the point stands, people are getting very angry about this card that discards 1 card off your deck.
Oh, really? Why are they getting angry about it, dude?
Some people are very silly. I can't see a reason to be mad at all. It doesn't seem that good.
It's a random card. It's just the top of your deck. I've got a guy that can drop a 1 power card, bronze, and it pulls a minion out of my discard. So I play my discard deck. I put my really strong minion in my discard deck, and then he pulls it and puts it on his side of the board. And you'd think that would make somebody mad.
Yeah. Well, it turns out, the people, as it happens, are only thinking about, like, the worst-case scenario. Oh, I play this against the mage. It discards their Archmage Antonitis. Oh, no, they lost the game because their best card got discarded by my 2-mana minion, lol. It cost me 2 mana to win the game.
Yeah.
Except that what they're not thinking is, like, 98% of the time where you do that, it discards the, like, 1-mana minion they didn't care about against the hunter. And then the hunter draws kill command the next turn and kills you, right? Like, you helped him out by thinning his deck down to get the cards that he wanted more. So, while it is the first case of them actually printing direct interaction with your opponent's deck, right? A lot of the cases before the so-called mill decks in Hearthstone, where you would, force your opponent to run out of cards, really what you were doing was you were causing both players to draw cards, but you were sort of stacking the deck on your side by adding more cards to your deck so that even when you drew a bunch of cards, you had cards left and they didn't, right?
Or you could outplay because you could get your cards on the board and the cards are meant to get removed from your deck.
Right, and their hand just fills up with stuff they couldn't play. They eventually run out of cards, whereas you're refilling your deck again and they start taking fatigue damage and die, whereas you are fine. So this is the first case where there's literally just do something to your opponent, no downside to you. And that's very exciting to me as a person who thinks they need more interaction in this game.
And it is one of the reasons I'm not or haven't been playing. It's just because after having played Gwent, it was just felt like my concerns that with the last couple months that I played Hearthstone were literally like, this is just iterations of the same thing over and over again. And unlike what people are saying, there's skill in knowing some odds,
Right.
But honestly, it's just about drawing and playing and drawing and playing.
Right. The variance of Hearthstone seems very low because of the low deck size, the amount of cards that exist out there, you know, isn't as high as it is in some other games and stuff. And so the game gets kind of old quickly. And I definitely understand that feeling. I've sort of been feeling that way about it for a while as well. You know, the meta or the, like, you know, the game of which deck is good has kind of been solved for a while. And so it's kind of just like, you know, okay, I'm going to play these games, do my quest. All right, I'm done. Like, that's really all I've been doing with Hearthstone for the past, you know, few months. So,
sure.
Which is why the arena was very fun for me to come back in and play something different.
Are you going to drop money to play this next expansion?
I haven't decided yet. We'll see. They do have a pre-order for those packs. You know, I'm waiting. You know, they are still showing more cards. They're talking about like maybe mid to late August of the next thing coming out. There will be free adventures for everyone. So all of the missions, these like adventure like things that go along with this will be free for everyone. So maybe even players like you who are not that interested will come back for what we have both considered to be the good stuff.
I'll just be interested to see that stuff and then probably move on because I won't have made any gold for like the last 2 months. So
yeah,
I'm not going to drop money on an expansion after having felt this way about a game for so long and not seeing a ton of improvement in the cards.
Totally.
So far.
The other card I wanted to highlight that I thought you might be interested in is it's a 6-cost 5/5. So meh, okay stats, but not really that good. And it has an ongoing effect, so not a battle cry or anything, just something that happens while it's out, that your opponent's spells cost 2 more.
Oof.
So it is a Lotheb-like effect, where Lotheb was a battle cry and only lasted for one turn, and was also like much better and a legendary. This card is not a legendary. It costs 6 mana, so one more than that, but has an ongoing effect, which just kind of makes your opponent really sad about casting spells.
Yeah. That's a good card, but it'll get changed.
I don't know. You know, the set isn't even out yet. There have been a number of cards that people have thought are overpowered based on their reveals so far.
Ain't it always the way.
Right. Go figure. People on the internet are bad at evaluating cards in a vacuum. So... I just think it's nice that they're printing spells. Like, I liked Lotheb for the reason that it allowed you to interact with your opponent, right?
Yeah.
This card also allows that. It's a warlock card, the one that discards off the top of their deck. That card is very interesting to me in a direction that the game is going. So I hope they continue to do stuff that allows more interaction between the players. Because, yeah, I do still enjoy playing the game. It's a fun game to play. I might play it less if there was a mobile version of Gwent, but there isn't, so here I am.
Yeah. Can we talk Gwent for a few minutes?
Yeah, we can talk Gwent for a few minutes.
Well, maybe a minute.
Talk it as long as you need to talk.
I'm not making dumb mistakes like putting my Igni on the wrong row anymore.
I totally did that the other day. I straight up just played it. I was like, okay, I got him now. Yeah. I played it on the row that his guy wasn't. I played it on the front when I wanted to get a guy in the back, and it was just like, oh no. Conceit.
I like, one of the things I like about Gwent is you can just be like, oh no. Okay, well, I just forfeit.
Yeah, the embarrassment of misplaying that badly. It's just, yeah. I can't handle it.
I have to say that I did play a Gwent or an Igni maybe 2 days ago, and I played it on a turn when I was down by 3, and I played it to go up by 1.
Ooh.
Without damaging his stuff, because we were down to like 1 card each, and I still needed to win the round, and I knew that he probably had a card that I needed to react to with the other card that was in my hand, which I think was like a lock.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so I was like, okay, I have to make sure, like, I don't need more points. I have to make sure whatever comes out of there can get locked. And so I had to play this Igni not to damage, you know, a whole huge row, but instead. Anyway, so, like that, I was wondering, do you, based on our Hearthstone discussion, Hearthstone's so popular that if you're into the game and you watch some videos, you hear the professionals and the players and everybody else talking about the mechanics, the weird nuanced mechanics, like the way that Transform wasn't also used for Druid of the Claw and the order of operations for what happens when things hit the board.
Right.
With Gwent being in beta and the way that, you know, like Mulligan has changed again, or like what cards get drawn when you put stuff back in your deck, all that sort of stuff. I think that I'm at like a 75% win rate right now.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm liking this discard deck quite a bit. But I think that also knowing those weird quirks of the game, like I learned another one last night. You know what happens if the timer runs out on your turn timer?
Oh, I know this. You discard a card.
Correct. So,
is it random though? I don't know which one
it is. Random. It pulls a random card and discards it. But if you're playing a discard deck,
that's
and you
right.
don't want to play the card, because if you play the card, it's going to cause an effect, and it's your you can force it to be your last card, and then let the game discard it for you, and then it gets played.
Because it counts as discarding, and so then you get an effect for the discard. Interesting.
So there's got to be a place. I don't know if you had a suggestion to find these weird mechanics, because Gwent's not as popular, and it's hard to catch on to, you know, like the players that play it are still like Super JJ, and all the professionals that are coming over are still learning all that stuff, right?
Yeah. So the place that I have visited in the past is the Gwent subreddit. From, you know, reddit.com/r/Gwent. There are a lot of memes on there, and people just talking in general. So I don't know that you're going to get like well-reasoned, interesting discussion there. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it exists, there. I've definitely learned some of that stuff by reading the comments, on that post. Gotcha. And you will then eventually see people saying, oh, this deck is good, or this other deck is good, and here's the deck that the pros are playing, or this is the thing that this guy hit number one ranked on the ladder, and that kind of stuff, using this and that kind of thing. So you will get at least some of that in the, like, here's the report of the most popular leaders for the past X days or whatever.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's some information. I don't know that you're going to get like good strategy discussion like that with Gwent. There probably are YouTube videos and stuff for some of that. I haven't looked for a lot of it though. Because you're right. There are a lot of the same. Although if you're a newer player, right, like learning that interaction, like, oh, by the way, like you need to be really careful about where you play this Scorch, or like, by the way, it targets your side too. Yeah. You know, like, or like, hey, this guy can only pull things from your deck if you have another one on the board, but then you better not have a second one because then it can't find the third one or whatever. Like that, those kinds of interactions and stuff are not necessarily obvious to a new player.
No, not at all. Like how Trio works.
Yeah. You have all three. Why doesn't it work? Oh, they weren't on the same line, or one of them was locked. Like, that kind of stuff. Or, like, lock doesn't do anything to it inherently. It's only if you reset it and then lock it does the power change, right?
I am still 2 months in the middle of a game where I'm like, well, if I think I know how this mechanic works and I play it that way, I win. But I have to kind of just test this to see how this is going to work.
Yep.
If it doesn't work the way I think it works, I just lose.
The bane of my existence in that game is strengthen and boost. And the difference between the two, God, I hate it.
Well, but like...
Because like, strengthen, you can't do anything about, right? Like, if something is strengthened, there's no way to get it back down unless you, like, weaken it.
Right. Weaken. Yes.
Or damage it, right? But if something is boosted, you can also weaken or damage it. But you can, if you do something that like resets it, then the boosts will go away.
Boost, yeah. But so, you know, like I'm constantly befuddled by the mechanics of which cards remove locks.
Locks remove locks.
Well, but also resets remove locks, but reinforcement doesn't remove a lock.
No. But if you resurrect something from the graveyard, it does, because.
Right.
Stuff like that is really annoying. Or not annoying, but you just have to know about it. And like, oh, well, this guy has, like, if I lock this guy and then kill it, is it worth it? Because he can then just resurrect it, or I should just leave it there, even though it still gives a bunch of damage, and then it's locked when it goes into his graveyard, and then he has to wait and resurrect it next turn instead of this turn, and like a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah, so somebody, if you're listening, and you're one of these kind of Gwent geniuses, which I'm not certain that there are.
I mean, I'm sure there are, but they don't listen to this podcast, probably.
Somebody out there, please, make a mechanics thread.
Yeah, they do have, like, some resources and stuff on that subreddit, but
okay.
Yeah, you're not gonna get what you want there, sadly, most of the time. Gotcha.
I think this is a good light episode, returning to form.
Yeah.
That was fun. And I learned something today. Nier Automata. Da.
Yeah. And I really think it is an interesting game. And the story so far is very interesting. I just hope that it continues. And I really wish they would patch it. But, oh well.
If you've also played this game and you want to send some spoilers to JJ, where should they go?
They can go to podcast@wewergamers.com, which is an email address. That you can send things to, whatever things you want. You can also find our stuff on Facebook. We're on facebook.com/WeWereGamers. Feel free to like that page, subscribe to our content. You know, find us on the RSS feeds, on your Google Plays and your iTunes and music stores. We're on Stitcher. Stitcher is pretty cool. Like us there. Give us those 5 stars. We need them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can send Andrew some hot Gwent tips at that. And all those places.
Yes, send them. I want them. Give them to me.
Yes.